Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast. I just want to be
8 days a week. Welcome in to another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers. We are in the college football playoff. We also beat the bejesus out of the South Carolina Gamecocks in basketball last weekend. I have a co-host. He represents a far inferior organization, football program, athletics program. He is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, day after Christmas. Great to be back. Had a whole week off for the podcast. I feel a little bit like refreshed a little bit. And of course, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I probably will stay on one subject a lot tonight. But, you know, you never know. But it's good to be back on the podcast with you, Rob. I trust you had a great Christmas.
I did.
I know I did.
I did have a good Christmas.
Looking forward to the new year. Because 2018 wasn't great for the Gamecocks, but 2019,
2018 was the game.
Actually, we can get two bowl wins in the same year.
Your best sport this year was what? Baseball. That's where you had the most national impact. What?
Well, I mean, in terms of the three major sports, the three major ones.
You can talk about the other sports, but I think that your best sport this year was baseball, in my opinion. You were one win away from the College World Series.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a pretty good year. That is true. Give me something better, and don't tell me Will Muschamp and his band of losers.
I mean, if we win Saturday, that's two bowl wins 2018. We can get two bowl wins 2018. That's not easy to do.
Holy crap. You are so dumb. Let's thank the patrons for our show. No, it's just stupid that you're saying that.
I'm just saying. That's
pretty
good.
Let's thank the patrons for our show. Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the czar of Clemson Sports. He's on his way to Texas. Thomas Dana Young, Kaylee Wandling, Keith Harrelson, Kevin Willis, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister Harkin. She's watching online tonight. And Jeff Pritchett. Also, we need to go ahead and thank our sponsors really quick. Of course, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. You can go there and enjoy some great stuff from Callaway's, including some really good beer and some great wings. Callaway's is just great. Go and find them on Facebook. You can also find them on the website, CallawaysBarandGrill.com. Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart in West Columbia. Also, take your computer sports gaming to new heights with Draft Day Sports from Wolverine Studios. Draft and trade your way to championship glory with their pro basketball and football games. Hit the recruiting trail and win the big bowl game in college football or cut down the nets. After a championship in college basketball, you can even hit the links and the following the career of a pro golfer. You won't find deeper, more realistic sports simulation games anywhere. Get ready to build your dynasty today. Download a free demo at WolverineStudios.com and use the code COMRADE at checkout to save 15% on your entire order. So WolverineStudios.com, get demo is free, and use the coupon code COMRADE at checkout. Also, Adam's Apple Eatables, we appreciate them. It's like apple pie in a jar. Go to adamsappleeatables.com, get you some apple butter. They can ship it to you. Greatest stuff you'll ever have. You can use it for the new year, put it on your biscuits. So good stuff from Adam's Apple Eatables. Go to adamsappleeatables.com. You can also find it in your Lowe's store around Columbia, Lexington, etc. So go and get you some apple butter today. Also, we have DNC Trucking and Transport, the No Spin segment from the Comrade. Tonight, it's a history lesson. Comrade, read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. We won an ACC football title in 1969. Dabo Sweeney was born in 1969. That is not a coincidence. Wait, that is a coincidence. Okay, before I make up lies about something I know nothing about, let's talk facts. In 1980, Pam Parsons was a women's basketball coach at South Carolina who had a lesbian affair with a recruit. Really?
She
1988,
did.
Four South Carolina coaches were indicted over steroid use throughout the program. In 2012, the Gamecock football program was put on probation for improper benefits. A secretary was thrown under the bus to save a coach who led us to no championships. Do you see a pattern here? I wish we had an honorable coach and human being like Dabo Sweeney running our program. He's one of the best coaches in the country. That's some of the reasons it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers and go Cavs.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. And by the way, you're asking, really? Yes, Pam Parsons recruited a woman, had sex with her, a lesbian affair with her, then lied about it.
We really need to go there.
This happened. She lied about it, got found out by my buddy, Lord rest his soul, Dave McDougal. He caught them, by the way. And then they lied about it. He did. He was the PI. That's not a joke. So they were caught. They lied about it. She gave her a scholarship anyway. Then when they got outed as being lesbians, they sued. And then once someone basically came out and said that Pam Parsons was the head of the Puss in Boots Lesbian Club, this is not a joke, then they had to go to jail for 105 days, both of them, for lying. This is what follows the Gamecock football, basketball, athletics program. Okay, comrade, go ahead. Give us all the Osterine okay. jokes you want. Have at
okay,
it.
Okay, real quick, though, I haven't told you this yet today. Their money has not come in yet, but I trust them. We have a new sponsorship in the show. The Robin Comrade Show is sponsored by Osterine, the wonder drug that is found in everything from soft drinks to hair products to the oxygen we breathe. Just remember, if you fail a drug test for Osterine, you aren't doing anything wrong. You are just living your life. That was sponsored by Osterine. Thank you, Osterine. I love having new sponsors. I'll get their banner up on the website.
So here's what you get. If you go to Clemson, you win championships. If you go to South Carolina, there's a good chance that a coach may molest you as a recruit. It's happened. Go ahead.
That's
yeah,
really
crickets.
True.
Nobody wants to talk about
that's
that.
Not true.
Let's talk.
That's
not true. Hold on. By the way, hold on. That is an absolute fact.
I just want to bring up one
that
point.
That happened.
On the script you made me read. Whoa, wait.
That happened.
On the script you made me read. Hey, real quick. Everyone brings up the Gamecock steroid scandal in the 80s.
Yes.
Clemson had one 2-3 years
okay,
earlier in the 80s as well.
But
so
hold on. But hold
kind of
on. But there were four Gamecock coaches that were indicted,
and
sir.
You had
how many coaches
big,
from Clemson were indicted?
You had a steroid scandal too. It was an SI.
Yeah, but no, not four coaches getting indicted.
It was.
You know what else we didn't have at Clemson? We didn't have a coach molest a recruit. That never happened
okay.
at Clemson.
So the steroid scandal is washed out.
You don't want to talk about that?
One right now.
You don't want to talk about that?
I will say this,
it's
though.
Okay.
So the steroid scandal of Carolina happened late 80s. Joe Morrison died right after. There's a lot of rumors he was going to get fired over it. You know, and no one really knows what would have happened if he would have stayed alive, if he would have been fired because of it and so forth. So when I got there in 93, okay, Sparky Woods was there. And you know, obviously the program was trying to clean itself up from the whole steroid scandal. Everyone asked me all the time if I saw steroids at Carolina. I did not. And part of the reason for that was is because they were really trying to clean up from that whole 80s thing. So I was there like, 5 years after the whole thing broke. And so, that's been blasphemy all the time. I did not see it there. I think more than anything else, they really tried to get rid of, that whole moniker they had from that time, because it was big time.
And I'm not mocking you, but I'm thinking that if there were some steroids there, they may have been giving them to players that had a better chance of seeing the field. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, well, no one. Here's the thing too about. I will bring it up too. We had this whole drug testing thing. We'll talk about stuff and everything. Let me tell you my drug testing story. Okay, first of all, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. Even Nick Saban says I'm stupid every day. They don't just drug test the playoff teams. Okay.
They drug test everybody.
I was there when I was in 93. Let me explain this. This I did in 93. It might have changed by now. I have no idea. In 93, I think it was once a week. It might have been less than that, but it was usually Friday morning. The NCAA was there, and they would randomly select athletes from all sports, okay? And, you know, volleyball, tennis, track, football, the whole deal. I'm not sure if they picked a certain month from each sport or it was just like a random. I have no idea they came with the numbers. And if you got called, you had to go down there. Now, I got drug tested one time. I'll never forget it. It was a night after the Aerosmith concert in Columbia. Aerosmith, Four Non Blondes, great show in the old Coliseum, great show. I was sick as hell all that week. I had the flu. I got the flu shot. My mom's going to get the flu shot. I got it. Never got so sick in my life. Haven't had a flu shot since. I was sick as hell. I went to the concert, though, Thursday night. Sick as hell. Had no voice because I wanted to go to the show. Felt like crap. Came back home, went to sleep, and said, I'm not going to class on Friday. I'm not doing crap. I feel like I'm going to die. So Friday morning, my roommate, Corey Bridges, wakes me up and says, there's a phone call for you. I'm like, whatever, you know. No, it's a phone call. You had to go to the drug test. And I said, I'm sick. I'm not going anywhere. And he said, if you don't come down for the drug test, that basically is admission. It goes to the failed test. So I had to drag myself down there. And, of course, you had the flu. You're all dehydrated already. You can't really pee that well because you haven't been drinking any fluids and everything. I had to tell him what I was on. I told him I was sick. What medications are you on? And you went to the bathroom, you peed, and they, like, watched you pee. Like, you couldn't, like, go in there in the whole stall by yourself. They watched you, you know, come out into the thing. I'm sure they had girls and the other one. So, but it's a random thing. And then, of course, I never failed my test because I am a, you know, upstanding athlete. Body is a temple. Never did that stuff. But that's how they did it back then. So it's not a thing where they drug test the whole team. They do it randomly. And so the whole Dexter Lawrence thing, as someone said before, well, obviously he wasn't using all year long. If he did, he would have failed all the tests. Well, not necessarily. He could have been tested the first time in his whole career. There are some people who don't get tested at all. Like my roommate, Corey, I don't think ever got tested once. His name never came up. But he just never know. And so that's the whole idea of the random test. Now, it could have changed in 25 years. They might do it more often. But I remember every Friday morning, which is an awful morning to do it, because you know about college kids, Thursday night's a big party night when you go out and drink and stuff. Yeah. And so, you know, getting tested Friday morning, and if you have alcohol in your system, they don't – that's not a – you don't – if you have alcohol and you're underage, you kind of get, like, the coach finds out, you kind of get a talking to and – stuff like that. So, I mean, that was part of what Garcia had to do too.
Right.
Garcia passed a, you know, that stuff. But so that's kind of how the drug testing was 25 years ago. I had one test. I passed it. It's the same right now. We'll see what happens.
I thought I would go through this as best we could with what facts we know. Basically, what happened was is that there were six Clemson players that were tested, and three of them came back with a trace of Osterine, is what it's called, in their blood sample, or their sample, not a blood sample. No. There is a second sample that they take automatically, and with that second sample, they, once they come up with the trace of it, they test the second sample. I read somewhere that the majority of the time, if the second sample comes back with nothing in it, they'll clear them. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I really don't. I mean, I have read that
today or tomorrow.
It's supposed to be today or tomorrow. Yeah. But here's the thing. I do think that, and I've caught hell because I've said this to some Clemson folks that I know, and here's my entire opinion on this. Any supplements they take go through the strength and conditioning program there at Clemson. If these three young men especially Dexter Lawrence, who is a potential first-round draft pick, have their names sullied through because something from the strength and conditioning team gave them. I think that that entire group of coaches should be fired. Now, here's the other thing, too, and this pisses off a lot of Clemson fans. If all three of them came back and it's in both samples, the entire team needs to be tested. And that way, if they're not doing it, then there's nothing to hide, and you're completely transparent. If you go about it that route, go through it and do it all. Test everyone. But if it's in their system, I think that you have to hold the strength and conditioning people to task. You really do. Now, apparently, from what I've read, with this second sample they're going to do, they're going to be able to isolate it more. And if it is in there, they can make more of a determination of where it came from. I don't know. I'm not a chemist. But I do know this. If it came through some supplements that they got, and I don't know what all supplements it can come in. It could come in anything with like booster packs and stuff like that from what I've read. But I'm of the opinion that you fire all these coaches and you test the entire team. Now, I know that pisses some people off, but that's just the way that it is. If you go that route, then the team tests clean. All right, you've got three guys that had something else in them. They shouldn't play if they have that second segment there. If the second sample doesn't test with that stuff in it, they shouldn't play. They shouldn't play at all. And they should be suspended until at least however long the NCAA has them out. I don't think that they should play in the second game in the national championship game.
I think it's 1 year. I mean, gets we were talking for 1 year.
I don't know. But either way, they shouldn't be allowed to play.
One thing, too, Lewis clears up, too. There's a perception among Gamecock fans that the second sample is a second test they give them.
No.
It's taken from the same test they did.
Right.
It's just another sample of what they did. So it's not like they can get clean now and then take it. Like, it's not like right. that.
There are a lot of Gamecock fans that are running their mouths and saying things that they really don't know anything about. I mean, let's just be honest. Nobody here is a supplement expert. Okay. But if they did it, they should be suspended. It's part of the rules, but I'm of the opinion you get your entire coaching staff as far as the strength and conditioning guys. They all should be gone. And I think that it should be, you know, something that the school should be fined for, the athletics department, because it's a big deal if it comes up that it's in there twice. Now, I have read that the majority of the time through that second sample, nothing comes of it, and they're cleared down the line.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but whoever was running that strength and conditioning program, that's whose feet should be held to the fire, because generally, from what I have been told, when you go to the strength and conditioning, they give you what you're supposed to have, and you take it and you deal with it. Even if you watch some of the Clemson vlogs where they have a, when you go to dinner or whatever, they scan your card and it tells you, okay, he can have this. So they tailor their freaking food for them. You know they're tailoring their supplements for them. It's as simple as that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if here's you can thing. Prove
there's,
it or not.
There's a good chance, and the reason why I've had so much fun the last couple of days or 2 days is because I know there's a good chance that the second sample will probably come back clean.
Right. But we may not get it back until Thursday or whatever.
Here's the thing, though. I will tell this to Clemson fans. If the second sample does not come back clean, it's not because in order for it to show up in your urine, okay, you're not taking body spray and it gets in your skin. You're doing something, okay? You're taking something you shouldn't be taking. It's not like a I touched the dude's arm who took it. Now it's my,
I mean,
if it's not in both samples, it's right. in your urine, there's something that they're doing that's wrong. Now, there's a good chance the second sample comes back and it's clean, okay? That's what happens the majority of the time, which is why I've had fun the last 2 days, because I know that's probably going to happen.
But and Gamecock fans should understand this too, because they are so hard up. And I'm not talking about you, because everything you're doing is goofing. But there are guys like at GT Rivalry on Twitter. He has come out and said point blank, Clemson should vacate all their wins for this season, which is a pile of shit, sir. And don't tell him that on Twitter, because he'll block you immediately, because he has a big steaming... Never mind. Anyway, but the point is that if it comes back that it's negative, then it should be let go. Simple as that.
It's not January 1st yet, so I can do this. Carlos Holder writes, is it possible someone could have slipped something to them in a drink or something? No.
No, I don't think so, Carlos.
Here you go. Drink this. No, that's not how this works, Carlos.
Well, and Osterine, by the way, is it's a supplement that's supposed to help make you stronger, supposedly. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I'm not going to sit here like some people. I'm going to run my mouth and say, oh, I know everything about this supplement. I know what I've read. But in reality, it's, and I know this sounds like this is something big too, it's really not that big of a deal. Okay? As of right now, if the second test comes back negative, there's going to be a ton of Gamecock fans that are going to look stupid. Kayla has a good point. If you fail a drug test on your job, you don't get a redo. You get fired. That is true, Kayla. I work for iHeartMedia. They make you take a second test, but they may be that way with other jobs. I don't know. So, yeah. But I am with Lewis. If you're doing this stuff, just say, hey, yeah, I was doing it. I'll have a lot more respect for these guys if they say, you know what? I was just trying to get bigger and stronger.
Well, it's kind of like the baseball guys. Now, Roger Clemens was my boyhood hero, my idol, okay? And he kind of turned me off and went to the Yankees, you know? And then the whole steroid thing came out. Clearly, he was doing steroids, okay? Followed the whole story. He threw his wife into the bus. Oh, my wife was just doing them, not me. And, you know, there's all this evidence.
Just admit it.
Okay?
Jesus Christ.
And what I wanted him to say is, it's just be honest, okay? The reason why he did them is because he pitched for the Red Sox his last year.
Everybody else was doing them.
All I want to say is be honest. Like, similar Bonds, you know, just come out and say, if you're Clemens, Dan Duquette said I was an average pitcher my last 2 years, which was a bunch of crap. I pitched for two god-awful teams that couldn't play defense, had no damn closer, and I got robbed of wins. And half the damn American League East is on steroids. So I say, you know what? I'm taking them too. Just come on, be honest. And say, you know what? Good for you. Barry Bonds needs to be honest with it. You know why Barry Bonds took steroids? Because in 1998, Sosa McGuire got all this attention, and Barry Bonds has more talent in his pinky finger than those two combined. And he was pissed. And he told Ken Griffey Jr., this is a story that's been around for a while. He said, you want to see what happens when I take steroids? Watch this crap. Okay? And he went out there and went unreal. Just come out and say that. Say, you know what? You all thought McGuire and Sosa were great? I'll show you the guy who is one of the great talents of all time. They take steroids. Just be honest. I'll say, you know what? I get it. Okay? You know, I used to judge people on steroids and say, like, how dare you sell the game? I used to always, like, when Barry Bonds first took it, how dare he does that? And someone asked me this question. They go, what if someone came to you in the locker room at Carolina and said, I have a pill you can take, and this pill is going to make you the starting quarterback in Carolina for the next 4 years. You just got to take this pill. It's illegal, but no one's going to find out about it. Just take this pill. Okay? And he goes, now, would you say, no, I'm going to try doing it my way, or just take the pill? And I said, I'd take the effing pill. Okay?
I mean, I'm
okay,
with you.
So to judge him on that whole idea, it's just a fact. Just kind of own it. Don't sit there and say, like McGuire said, when he took his stuff and
bringing McGuire it, bringing pad, he back didn't think to it football,
helped him.
Though.
It's like, really? Then why'd you, if you don't think it helped him, why'd you take it? Or why'd you apologize to the Maris family if you didn't think it helped? But, like, I don't understand that. Just don't, dude, I don't think it really helped me. Really, then why'd you take it for 5 years?
Bringing it back to football, though, if they did it, just own it. It's not a big deal. And here's the thing, too. You can take some tests later on. You'll get cleared up. It may drop you around, but you'll still play in the NFL as far as Dexter Lawrence goes. You know, I'm just saying. Me personally, I don't think that you should do the steroids. But if you're doing it to make yourself a better player, it's kind of hard for me to mock you. I mean, it really, really is. And that's whether you're Gamecock, Tiger, whatever. Charlie Rabin normally doesn't make any sense on Facebook Live, but he does have a good point. Bond used a lotion as well. Yeah, it was called the cream is what they called it.
The cream. Yeah, him and Gary Sheffield.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, Barry Bonds' story was he had no knowledge it was a steroid. He just did what Barry Bonds told him to do.
Fucking idiot.
Which I don't believe either, because Barry Bonds is very anal about what he does to his body and all that stuff. But that's his story, that keep him out of jail, which is fine. But just come on.
Submit it.
Be honest with it. I took everyone else's step. You know, I want to show you how good I was.
All right. So, but Loris may not play in the game against Notre Dame, but we find out tomorrow he may play. It may come back out of that. Let me make sure that I want to get this other piece out too. And Mike kind of mentioned it earlier. There's a ton of Gamecock fans just saying, "Oh, this will just get paid off and it'll just go away." It doesn't work like that. You can't pay off.
There was one person on Facebook who was suggested.
I know. That one Clemson fan's like, "Why don't we just give the NCAA $5 million and then they'll go away and do it?" Look, because you can't do that, you fucking idiots. The problem is that it's a third freaking party that the NCAA has doing these damn drug tests. So you can't pay anybody.
By the way, what's the lesson we've heard about from beginning of time? It's never the crime, it's the cover-up, okay? The crime is three guys fail a drug test. It's not the freaking end of the world. You go ahead and pay, you're like trying to block the NCAA, then all of a sudden now that becomes, your program is not going to be in the death penalty, okay? Because you're trying to, pay off the NCAA.
And according to what we've been told, it was a slight trace of the stuff in there anyway, but we'll see. We'll know tomorrow. But in the end, it doesn't matter. In Lawrence's place will be Huggins. Huggins is a guy that's looked at as a third-round draft pick in the NFL. He's not Dexter Lawrence, but it's not like it's going to be a monumental drop-off from there. It will affect a little bit on the depth front, but I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think Clemson's going to have any issues with Notre Dame regardless. Kent Phillips is stupid, and he's trying to say that a house of God. And let me burn that for a second. If you're a Gamecock fan and you automatically think that New Spring Church is feeding Clemson money, you should drink bleach. You should feed bleach to your mother. And throw it in her eyes for having you, because you're dumber than dirt. There is absolutely no way that a church is going to do that. There's no way. And by the way, why don't you do a little research on New Spring? Because there's New Spring churches in Columbia. Oh, damn. That kind of sucks.
There's Clemson fans in Columbia, so that just helps.
But that's the point. Have you been to the New Spring Church in Columbia, Mike?
They suck the
game. They suck the Gamecock dick there, brother.
They asked me how much money I had on the road. I told them, they go, "Please donate to our special charity in the upstate."
You are like,
what is that? They go, "You don't even know any details. Just give me your money."
What New Spring does around the state is monumental, and it's ridiculous when people say that they're funding the Clemson football program. New Spring does nothing but help the poor and try to make the state a better place. So just stop with the bullshit. Just stop. It's stupid. You're ignorant as fuck when you do that. It's just ignorant. And I'm using that word because that's exactly what it is. You are dumb. If you truly think that, and you're not just goofing off, You're an idiot. All right. Do you want to talk about the bowl games or the leaderboard?
Let's do the leaderboard. Kale and TCU are playing right now, so obviously that game is not on the leaderboard right now. I've got Kale in that game. It's 7-0 Kale.
I don't even know who I have.
It's 7-0 Kale, and TCU is driving. They're about to score, I think.
All right, so have, through 16 games, I'll read the leaderboard while you look me up. Through 16 games, Jamie Phillips is on top with 12. Lewis Boland is right behind him with 11, followed by Gary Mills at 11. Then you got Billy Muse at 10, Jeff Pritchett at 10, Rubens at 10, Jason Sims is at 10, Jay Rocks at 10, Chris Drivers at 10, Chris Drivers at 9. Jeremy McClure is at 8, along with Ben Simmons, Ken Bellinger, Mike Muse, the comrade, Mark McCurry. Dennis Wilson's at 7. I'm also at 7, but I'm rebounding here, Mike, because if you look at it, I started out like 1-4. I've been picking them up here. Tyrone Quarles is also
Kale
at 7.
Too, by the way.
What's that?
You have Kale in this game.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Phillips, our leader, has TCU. So this is a big game.
What's the spread on this game?
If Kale can win this game by +2, we'll both pick up a game on Jimmy Phillips.
Yep. Kip Barry is also at 7. We're still waiting on that paperwork, Kip Barry. Lisa Sestera Harkins is at 7. Jeremy Spires is at 6. Chris Smith is at 6. Gary Gorski's at 6. Richard Head is at 6. Tabitha Sims is at 6. Donnie Jennings is at 6. Brian Peek, Thomas Dana Young, and Eddie Hicks is at 5. And look who's last. Old Dumber Than Dirt, the fish screwer.
Defending the champion of the regular season.
Joe Anders.
Had a tough bowl season.
Joe Anders, Dumber Than Dirt, doesn't know what he's doing. By the way, next year for the finals, the very last week, we're not going to let what happened this year go on again, where Joe Anders waited until everybody put their picks in and then went and changed his picks so it was mathematically impossible for him to lose. We're not doing that next year. Next year, we're all going to submit our picks via email, and then they'll be put up on the board at noon that day because Joe Anders stole it from our buddy David Chandler. So there you go. I said that. You're a thief,
well,
Joe.
I just will not make the spreadsheet available to anyone to see it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And if I'm involved, if I'm close, if I'm leading it, then we make our picks in the podcast. So whatever I pick in the podcast, I have to
do because that's what Joe Anders did. And he ended up screwing David Chandler, who probably would have outpicked him anyway. And I don't care. Joking. You want to come at me on that, Joe? Come on down. I got a fish hook for you, buddy. I ain't scared of you. All right. So Gamecocks and Virginia. That line has moved up on that game. It's now at -6 for the Gamecocks. I think we were at, what, 3.5, Mike? 4.5? Do you remember? It's jumped up. It's jumped up a good bit. I'm in the camp of, and I'm not trying to just poke Gamecock fans, but you got a lot of guys that are out. And
6.5 is a spread in our contest.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then it's down to 6. So it's gone down. I thought it was at like 3.5. But anyway.
No, 6.5 is a spread in our contest.
But I'm taking Virginia because if the Gamecocks were healthy, I would take the Gamecocks. But I'm not taking the Gamecocks because you don't have everybody there. And just because Bryson Allen Williams is coming back, he hasn't played in a month or 2 months almost. You also aren't going to have Wanham. You aren't going to have, Stanley? You aren't going to have your best offensive lineman. If you just think that, you know, it doesn't matter that those guys are out, you're kind of pissing on those guys and saying, well, you're not worth a shit. Your backup's just as good as you are. Doesn't make any sense. And that's why I think that the Gamecocks are going to have timing issues on offense. Moving Bryan Edwards, which is what Coach Muschamp said he was going to do, into Samuel's spot. He's never played that spot before, for the most part. Now, he did get into that last year, but he was a lot more effective when he had Samuels in that spot and he can play the other side. So I think that, but I do think this too. I think that was a lot of coach speak. I think that Josh Van is going to be the guy that ends up in that spot. And I think he's going to be the one that tries to be the new version of Deebo Samuel, or at least he's going to play that part. And they're going to keep Bryan Edwards where he was comfortable at before. Now, I could be wrong on that. And the reason that I say that is because normally Muschamp doesn't tell you what the hell he's going to do. I think he threw that out there on purpose. Just my opinion.
I agree.
But
I agree.
So,
I think Josh Van to kind of shine. Not shine.
Yeah.
He might shine, but he's going to
be put into the position that he has to fill Deebo Samuel's role. Simple as that.
And this is why I view the bowl game, non-playoff bowl games, as kind of like a preview of next season. I'm glad Deebo's not playing just because he's not going to be here next year. I like having seen the guys we need next year play in a bowl game just to kind of give kind of get an idea of what they do, and they have some, hopefully they play well. They have something kind of the off season to go into, and so forth. So I like the, as a fan, I like the idea. I mean, I like to see Deebo play one more game, sure, but like I like the idea of okay, let's look at the guys who are going to be here next year, who we need to play well to get an idea, get them another game experience, get more. The fact that Josh Van will be starting to get a lot of snaps in, you know, makes them better for next year. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Josh Van.
Let me shoot down some of these Gamecock fans that are running their mouth. It is a big deal that Dexter Lawrence is going to be out. Huggins is a good player, but he's not Dexter Lawrence. Are you really that stupid? I think Lewis and Kent hold hands.
I'm not trying That's to what troll they do. You right now, okay? But Clemson has struggled when they play a team that has an offensive line with a pulse, okay?
Right.
And
Notre Dame doesn't have that.
What's that?
Notre Dame doesn't have that.
I think their offensive line is pretty good. I think Notre Dame's line is probably just as good as our line, if not better.
I completely disagree with you, but I'll tell you why. I went back and watched the Vanderbilt game this week, and their defensive line was punching them in the mouth. They're not a good offensive line. They're not.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But I think they're on par with the Gamecock line. And the Gamecock line kicked your ass, okay? I mean, let's be honest. And so now, I think it's an issue for Clemson. Now you have Lawrence out. Lawrence is out, okay? That makes it even better. The question I have, I'm not sure how good Notre Dame's defense is.
Right. Well, you want to finish up talking about the Gamecock game before we get in there? We'll finish the Gamecock game first. But I think having Bailey out is going to cause some timing issues. Something else too. They were talking about, and I don't know if you know about this or not, they don't know who they're going to start at center. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah. So if you don't know who you're going to start at center, that's a pretty big deal.
I'm sure they're not telling the media who they're going to start, but they probably have an idea. But
it's not your normal center.
I'm not their center.
It's not your normal center.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. That's the whole ever freaking point. The point.
Well, you're not good. Okay, let's get that out there. Virginia's not a good football team. So I understand we got guys out. Virginia's not good. I'm actually going forward to this. I would love to beat Virginia with the fact that half our team is out, and that just makes it even sweeter. So I like the idea that, you know, I don't want to see people hurt. Okay, but I like the idea that we're coming into the game, and it's and the big storyline is all the guys are missing time. And it would be really cool if we went out there and kicked Virginia's ass. And one, I think we can do it because I don't think Virginia's very good. But you know, that's what we'll hear from Clemson fans afterwards. And I'll tell you that's true right now. But the fact you go out there and do that and say, listen, being an ACC team, a team that was in the hunt for the division championship not but a few weeks ago, and we basically went out there without our best receiver, without our best lineman, without half our defense, and kicked their, you know what? I think that's a big kind of mark coming in for next season. So,
all right. So I picked Virginia. The Comrades got the Gamecocks. On to the Clemson game. Not having Dexter Lawrence there will be a big deal. But I think the big thing with Notre Dame is keeping Ian Book in the pocket. He makes plays when he's able to move around and step up. So that'll be the big thing with him. Can the Clemson outside guys keep him in the pocket? If they do that, I think that Clemson should win easily. The Notre Dame has also had some issues stopping the run, and I think Clemson's going to grind it out. I really do. I don't know if I think they trust Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think they want Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball more than. In fact, I'll put this out there now. I think if Trevor Lawrence throws the ball 34 times or more, Clemson will lose. Simple as that. That means that they've had to depend on him too much, and they're not running the ball. Just my opinion. The closest game that Clemson had this year was the Boston College matchup, and he threw the ball like 38 times. And, you know, simple as that. I think if he throws the ball too much, Clemson's going to be in trouble. But I think that Clemson will roll Notre Dame.
It's again, I don't think you match up with Notre Dame well. I think this is the worst team you could play besides Bama. I think if you get Ohio State in here, Oklahoma in here, I think you'd be fine. I think Notre Dame with their lines, they give you problems. I'm not sure they can stop your run. I mean, they got to be better than we did against your run. Good Lord. But, you know, if they can find a way to slow down your run a little bit. And, you know, the other thing, too, the bowl games, too, are about kind of timing. You haven't played in a while. They've, you know, it's even practicing. But still, sometimes you see offenses struggle a little bit early on. And so maybe you're not as sharp offensively on that. I don't think you're going to cover. I like Notre Dame with the points, with the 10.5 points we're getting here. But I think you're in this game down to the wire. I think it'd be very much like the flood game you had with them. You won on a, you know, on the goal line stand there. I think it could come down to that. And at that point, it's a coin flip. I don't think you're going to cover. I can see you losing. But you guys have found a way to have the horseshoe fall out your hind parts in these games before. Maybe it happens again, or maybe the Osterine thing. Maybe it's a sign of your karma and your good fortune running out. Maybe Notre Dame will get the luck of the Irish, get a bounce here and there. Maybe a bad call will go against you, and they win. And we get to hear you complain about your fans anyway, complain about a bad call cautioning you a trip to the championship.
If it gets down to where it's a bad call, Clemson fans shouldn't bitch. They're much better.
They will.
I know. I'm just saying you shouldn't bitch.
I know. I'm just saying. But I think it will come down to. I think it's going to be real close. I think it'll come down to, like, the last drive. I'm not sure who held the ball, but one of those things that, like, the flood game a few years ago. Their name of the ball driving down. They went for it on fourth down and couldn't get in. You guys won. I can see something like that happening. Maybe Clemson has the ball this time. Maybe they don't get in. Maybe they do get in. Maybe a guy fumbles the ball for the end zone. You know,
I don't know. We'll find out. It should be interesting either way. So I'm looking forward to the games. By the way, I'm doing a 1 hour Clemson special after our Gamecock coverage on WVOC on Saturday. I'll be on from noon to one. I'm going to be in Columbiana Mall live. So if you want to come down there and throw rocks at me, have at it. I'll be doing that show live.
You know, back in the day, I used to work in Columbiana Mall at Champ Sports. Great, I was a great shoe salesman.
I thought you worked at Spinnaker's. Didn't you work at Spinnaker's?
What's
too?
That?
Didn't you work at Spinnaker's?
I did do
too?
That as well. I worked at Champ Sports during the end of my college career. I worked at Spinnaker's in that time where I was out of college, but I wasn't quite ready to be an adult yet. So I was like, I'm just going to wait tables and, you know, act like I'm still in college. So, yeah. So good time. Comrades DNA all over it. Like, you can walk in there and just, you can still feel my presence.
No, I don't think so. All right, Mike, do you have anything else you want to add for this week's show?
That's it.
And with that, this show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at RobSoundsGood and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.